Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Right now, thank you for tuning into the GSMC Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and as usual, I got my good friend. Who are you?
My name is Will.
Will. All right, and so today, we have something to talk about today. There's a big event this weekend. What is this event, William?
I don't know. Is it at Madison Square Garden?
I think you're right. I think you call it UFC New York. First off, it's actually UFC 217, but I think they should just change the name of this and just make it UFC New York 2. I think that, you know, just kind of separate it. It's their big event for, it's like their WrestleMania for the UFC.
Yeah, save the numbers for another time.
Yes, I say make it UFC New York number 2. You know, last year's was spectacular, and then this year, you roll into this card, and this card is stacked. Overall, we're gonna get into the individual matchups, but what do you think about the matchups as a whole, of like when you look at this entire card?
I think this whole card is put together so well. I've not been excited for a card as much as this one. I mean, I was excited for the Mayweather-McGregor fight, but as a whole, I think this one tops it, and the fans are going to be delighted.
Yeah, because I think this has kind of been a down year for the UFC. And this card here is kind of, because I don't count the McGregor-Mayweather fight as a UFC event. So this is truly, in my opinion, the biggest event of the year. Do you agree?
Totally agree. That's why they're having it in New York.
All right, so we're going to kick off by talking about the main event first. And I know we both have a lot of opinions about this. And that main event is going to be Michael Bisping versus George St. Pierre. And do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
How do we even start this? I mean, both fighters have such a storied career. How do you want to start this?
All right, I'm going to start off then. I'm going to say I've been looking at this card and I've been racking my brains, because one of the few times that I'm truly biased, I'm just going to be flat out and say it, I'm biased this fight. And I look at it and my take on Michael is that, you know, I've already said he did not beat Anderson Silva. Then He got a fight with Luke Rockhold. I thought it was a lucky punch to get him with Luke Rockhold. And then he got to fight Dan Henderson at the very end of his career, and I thought he lost to Dan Henderson. And then when I look at everyone in the top 15, I don't think he really could beat anyone in the top 15. But he's fighting George St. Pierre. And I normally, if you said, oh, someone's fighting George St. Pierre, you would instantly say, you know, oh boy, George is going to kill whoever he fights. But you're fighting a George St. Pierre who's going to be the much smaller man and who's going to have ring rust. And I don't care what anyone says, there's a true thing about ring rust. It's going to take a round or two for GSP to get his timing down. And so that's the thing I've been scratching my head on when I think about who's going to win this fight. You got to take in, he's a much smaller man and a ring rust. Now, when you first look at this fight, what did you look at?
When it was first announced, I was really excited because I've been following both fighters' career for a long time. Michael Bisping, ever since he was on the Ultimate Fighter 3, and George St. Pierre, ever since he fought Matt Hughes for the first time and lost the title. But the biggest thing, obviously, for me is what you were mentioning with the ring rust. It's been 4 years since George St. Pierre fought, and out of any fighter in the UFC, I think he's taken the most accumulative strikes out of any fighter that's ever fought in the UFC. He's had more time in the ring than any single fighter.
Well, see, that's one I disagree on. And I would disagree and say that George really never got beat up until his last three fights. I look at the Johnny Hendricks fight. I look at the Diaz fight, and there's another one. The Condit fight. Yes, those three fights were the three fights that I looked at that I thought he got the most damage done to him. But before that, I thought he went through very clean. You disagree?
No, I totally agree with that. I'm just saying that on a pure number basis, not talking about significant strikes at all, he's just taken more strikes that CompuBox has actually statistically gathered over his entire career.
Yes.
And he spent hours and hours in the octagon.
And not only that, he spends, now on your side, he used to spend a lot of time training, a lot of time sparring as well. But when I go back and I look at this and I say, I think it was the perfect time for him to take some time off. I just don't know. 4 years is a big difference. And Michael, when I look at Michael is not a middleweight. Michael could easily be a light heavyweight.
I mean, he fought at light heavyweight when he first got into the UFC. He'd had over 10 plus fights in the light heavyweight division before he decided to move down.
Now, with that being said, give me your prediction on who's going to win and how.
Well, like I said before, I've been following both fighters' career for a long time. I've watched them train for a very long time. I know that George St. Pierre, despite what everyone talks about with the size and everything, I don't think that's going to be a big factor because he's actually trained with bigger fighters. He's trained with Rashad Evan. He's actually trained with Michael Bisping before, and they've been talking about this all in the lead-up, how Michael Bisping is supposedly afraid of the takedown and the double leg and whatnot. And I think that's what is going to be, he's going to be in store for come fight night. I think George St. Pierre is going to be aggressive. He's going to try to take him down. He's going to try to submit him. And he's going to do just enough on the feet to get Bisping preoccupied on the feet. And that's how he kind of lulls fighters into just his entire game. His entire game is the karate stance, making sure that he has a timing to shoot the double leg, and then isolating and securing you on the ground and just nullifying any attack that you have. And I don't think that anything's going to be different in this fight because I think that he's technically superior to Michael, or to Bisping in pretty much every facet of the game.
I know. So you say
I'm taking George St. Pierre.
Okay.
I'm like, you are not clear. Spit it out.
No, I have GSP.
Okay. And how?
You know, I'm going to give GSP. No, I'll give him the decision because I think Bisping's going to be able to tough it out and he's not going to be finished in this fight.
Okay. First off, GSP rarely ever finishes anybody. Do you agree on that? He doesn't finish a lot of guys.
He definitely doesn't. But throughout this whole lead up, he's been talking about how he's going to be super aggressive. He's shown a different character in all the pre-fight antics.
I agree with you.
He's having fun. He's laughing. He's walking around like he's a big guy on campus. And
we just fill everyone in. We just got done watching the weigh-in, and I've been kind of stuck in the middle of this fight. I know who I'm just flat out on the bias side. I want GSP to win this fight. But as far as that's with my heart, but with my head, I've been right down the middle and I'm like, I don't know who's going to win this fight. But I looked at the weigh-in and it wasn't, GSP looks great. He looked like just like GSP, but it was a little different. He was laughing at Bisman and I believed him. He was he was kind of surprised and he pointed at his chest like, wow, you don't look good, dude. And he was having fun at the weigh-in. He was literally, I thought, you know, the nerves would kind of maybe creep in after 4 years. He looked more relaxed. He looked, you know, he was entertained by Bisman. And I thought that kind of pissed Michael Bisping off a little bit.
Well, Bisping's always been kind of an emotional fighter and pissed off.
Yes. He got kind of grumpy, and Dana had to separate him, and George looked like he was at Disneyland. He was checking out the sights and sound, and he was enjoying it.
But that can also be a double-edged sword, because the GSP of the past was one of the most nervous fighters ever.
No, I agree with you on that. And traditionally, when you look at a guy who's doing something out of character, and I always look at the Ronda Rousey, Holly Holm fight, and I remember watching the weigh-in, and I said, wow, Ronda's going to lose because, she just didn't look like Ronda that night. But this is a different GSP, and I give him a pass that it's 4 years. He's been training. I think he's supremely confident that he's ready for this. Michael Bisping is the easiest fight in the middleweight division he could get. I'm going to, and this could be my heart and my head or both or none of the above, whatever it is, I'm taking George St. Pierre and I'm going to go KO. And George doesn't finish anybody. But here's the thing that I see like a third round KO. When I look at the Anderson Silva fight, he got clocked. And the fight got stopped, and I thought he was knocked out then. And then a little home cooking, and he's not knocked out. When I looked at Dan Henderson, he almost got knocked out there. I don't see George landing punches to knock him out, but Michael's going to be very, very super cautious about the takedowns. Kind of like when Cormier got knocked out. Cormier is a hard man to knock out, but Cormier made the wrong move, and he dipped when he shouldn't have dipped. And I could see the same situation where he's worried about the takedown. He does a dip. George St. Pierre comes over the top with a high kick. Cancel Christmas. I got George St. Pierre, third round knockout. Do you think I'm crazy?
I don't think you're crazy at all. I've actually, just another example, previously in around 2012 or so, George tore his ACL. He was out for a year or so.
I remember that, yep.
And he came back and fought Condit, and he put an absolute beating on him for most of the fight, aside from that head kick that was very unorthodox and landed. But I thought he looked even better than he had looked
in his
entire career before that.
That's another point, and thank you for bringing that up. That's the last time that George went away for an extended period of time and came back. When he went away and came back, he came back better. Do you agree?
So much better. He was just so much stronger, so much more well-rounded, and it was just that one kick that was the main flaw of that fight.
You know, when he lost to Matt Hughes, when he came back, he was better. You know, when he lost to Matt Serra, he came back, he was better. Is this four times?
We might see the best GSP ever. We might see one of the best MMA fighters complete package ever in this event.
Now, let's say both of our predictions are correct, and he wins the middleweight. George St. Pierre is the middleweight champion of the world. He never lost the welterweight title. and he walks in there and wins the middleweight title. What does that do for his legacy?
Who's better? I think he's greatest of all time at that point, easily.
I can't give him the greatest of all time. But dang. Wow.
He's beat generations and generations of fighters all across every level. He's been in this game for a long time. I can't even give you the years.
It just blows your mind at that point. At that point, he has the middleweight title. And at that point, you have a situation where don't be surprised if there's some Conor. There's already Conor McGregor to talk. He wins this. George could put the middleweight division on his ear even worse. Michael Bisping has held the middleweight division at hostage. George wins it. They turn around and they say, Anderson Silva versus George St. Pierre. Winner, then, if George was to get past Anderson Silva, then you're going to talk about George St. Pierre versus Conor McGregor.
Whoa.
Tyron Woodley.
No, we're not. I'm going to give them credit. I think that I've been hearing a lot of rumors.
Wait, you give the UFC credit?
I'm going to give them credit this time.
I don't give them credit anymore.
I'm going to say that they're going to right what they've been doing wrong. They've been trying to steer and make the more legitimate fights.
Give
now.
Me an example of when they've tried to do things legitimately. How about the $40 million interim titles?
Well, they stripped Conor of that title, the featherweight title, right after. That was a good step. Then they made another interim title with Tony Ferguson and Kevin Lee to move the division along. That was a good step, regardless of what happens, because McGregor was going to be out for a long period of time. And now I think they're actually going to make that fight with McGregor and Ferguson. And then the one thing that you haven't mentioned is that there's been kind of rumors, and not sure if it's confirmed yet, but GSP has a clause in his contract that he has to stay and defend his middleweight belt. And the only person that would be reasonable to defend it at this time would be against Robert Whittaker, the actual champion of the division.
I agree with you. That's what should happen.
but it's about the money, Ed, right? It's the money.
Have you seen this new UFC? This isn't the Fatitas UFC. You can have GSP fight Robert Whittaker, which is a bad matchup. Or you can say Anderson Silva GSP, super fight.
I'm sorry, Anderson Silva Tyron
Woodley has already talked about. He fights the winner. You got a super fight there. It's just the new UFC is too geared toward money to not take that into account.
I don't know if Anderson's been a draw for a while now.
Oh no, I could see them skipping the Anderson fight, but a Tyron Woodley.
Oh, I can see that easily. Okay, I just think that they actually do have that clause, and I'm gonna be if this is naive and I'm being optimistic, I really do want to see that fight. If George St. Pierre looks like an amazing fighter that I think he's gonna look this weekend, I really do want to see him fight Robert Whittaker, because Robert Whittaker is actually coming off an injury, so that might maybe level the playing field, maybe level the size advantage that he has over GSP. But I'm excited for that fight potentially.
All right, let's just say we're both wrong, and GSP comes in and he pulls a Lyoto Machida and goes to sleep. Michael Bisping puts him to sleep. What's next for Michael Bisping?
I'm gonna personally send Michael Bisping an email to tell him to retire. It doesn't get better than this. You have Robert Whittaker waiting on the wings. You have Luke Rockhold waiting on the wings. You have Chris Weidman waiting on the wings. You have the whole top 15 that you're talking about that could potentially beat him waiting in the wings. It doesn't get better. Go retire and fix your eye, and you have a great broadcasting career left for you.
Nope. I think he's gonna go try. I think he's gonna fight Rob. Tyron Woodley. I think he would try to fight Tyron Woodley.
If Tyron Woodley's willing to move up, then that could be possible. But I don't think it ends well for him.
I don't think it ends well at all for
him.
I'm
sending a professional courtesy by sending him that email. I just
send
really
him a little
want
care package, some cookies, and everything else, and then say, "Will you please retire?
You've had a great career. I just don't think it gets better than that."
And I know this sounds so disrespectful to talk about the middleweight champion that way, but other than retirement, I just don't. I do think he has the ability to beat George St. Pierre because of the size. If George comes in rusty, he can catch George. If he gets lucky and catches George, he can knock him out. But this is the last of the fighters that I think he can beat.
Yeah. I mean, no disrespect to Michael Bisping. I'm a huge Bisping fan, too. I actually like him. I think he's a fighter's fighter. He never gives up. He's going to show
he's
up.
He's brought himself. He's pulled himself up by the bootstraps, yes. But
you can only pull yourself up
so far. When I go to the next UFC event, and if I see Michael, I'm running another way. Because I sure as heck can't whoop him.
That's why I'm trying to do it through kindness. I'll send him a nice email.
So, with that, once again, and just to recap, William, you have George St. Pierre winning by unanimous decision.
Yep.
And I have it by a third round KO.
Oh, third round. Okay.
What did I say first time?
I thought I was thinking to myself fourth.
No, I had a third round KO.
I was actually going to say fourth myself, but no, I'm going to say unanimous
decision. I got a third round KO. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the co-main event, which is Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw. And then after that, we're going to talk about that Rose. We got Thug Rose versus Joanna Champion coming up next. Stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back. I'm here with William, and we just got done recapping the GSP versus Michael Bisping fight. And just to recap our predictions, I had GSP, George Rush St. Pierre, winning with a third round head kick knockout. And William has Michael Bisping winning with a first round KO.
Oh, well. I don't know about that.
All right, let me rephrase that then. Actually, he has George St. Pierre winning by unanimous decision.
And it's a bully beatdown that I'm expecting.
So you actually predict a very solid unanimous decision.
Oh, it's going to be – there's some rounds where it might be 10-8. That's what I'm thinking.
So you're looking more of a like a Koscheck fight.
I'm looking more of like the John Fitch fight.
Interesting. Michael's going to keep coming forward. That's one of the things I know. And yep.
But there's not many good things to come forward to is what I'm going to see.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, on the skill side, when I keep looking at this fight, the only thing I see that he has is, we were just talking about it on the break, we were talking about the weigh-in, and Michael didn't even look bigger. So he doesn't have the size factor. I do think he may have a lucky punch factor, but that's it. I think GSP is going to be the far superior fighter. I don't mean to bring, you know, we're going to move on to another fight, but when you look at it, and when you look at the weigh-in, Michael's not a much bigger fighter.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to show a lot of heart.
He's not the faster fighter.
No.
He's not the more elusive fighter. He's not the better wrestler. Has more hair. I really, as I start talking about it more, I just don't see how Michael can win this fight.
Well, not many people predicted that he'd beat Luke Rockhold. So there's that.
And
Anderson Silva, too.
He did not beat Anderson Silva. That was called home cooking. That was, oh, you're knocked out. Wait a minute. No, he's not. We're going to throw some dirt on him.
Hey, I saw that highlight. I think he won that by knockout. I've been seeing that highlight all on the highlight reels.
And then, okay, we're going to be unanimous. It should be a unanimous decision. Oh, no. That's going to be Michael's fight. The unanimous decision. I just, I don't know. I just, that fight just really just gets under my skin. All right. Now we're going to move on. Because
we should.
William got me upset about that Anderson Silva decision because that is very bogus. What's the next fight we're talking about? I'm so upset here.
Cody Garbrandt versus TJ Dillashaw.
How the heck do you... Okay, let me start on this one. I was going to let you go first. This is going to be an interesting fight. And this is another fight that I was stuck right down the middle. When I look at this, I say TJ Dillashaw is going to, first off, he's the mirror opposite of Dominic Cruz. They both move around. Everything looks very similar except for one fight's going backwards, one fight's going forward. Dominic Cruz looks amazing as he goes, bounces around, and he goes backwards. Where Dominic Cruz is the more aggressive fighter.
No, TJ Dillashaw
is the more aggressive fighter. Thank you for catching that on me. I think that's going to cause Cody in the later rounds some problems. Now, it also sets up, because TJ Dillashaw is the more aggressive fighter, it also sets up so Cody could actually land one of those big haymakers that he throws. So that's one of the things I've been going back and forth with. And, you know, when I finally, you know, now my feet are to the fire, and I say, I will say this right out the gate. If Cody does not drop him in the first and second round, I got TJ Dillashaw winning this by decision. But Cody can catch him because he's going to be coming. He's going to be right in front of Cody. In the end, I'm taking TJ Dillashaw to win because I think he can catch Cody, take him to the ground, smother him, and win round after round by taking him to the ground. And I just made this decision up just now. I have TJ Dillashaw winning a unanimous decision over Cody and winning this fight.
All right.
Well, I need you to, now you break this bad boy down for me and give it, because this one I was having such a hard time on this one that I kept going back and forth that I really would love to hear your take. So go fire.
Man, there's a lot of history in this fight, actually. Both originated from the Team Alpha Male camp. Garbrandt's still there. Dillashaw moved off with Julian Bang Ludwig. And I thought that was going to play, when I first thought about this, I thought it was going to play a big role in this fight when it was going to be, like, potentially made. But as I think about how Garbrandt fared in the Dominic Cruz fight, and the whole lead up with Dominic Cruz just trash talking him, and I thought he was going to get into Garbrandt's head. But when fight night came, we saw a completely emotionally detached Garbrandt, and he was just picking him apart.
Now, do you think that Dominic Cruz fought his regular... Because I didn't think Dominic Cruz fought a regular traditional Dominic Cruz fight.
Not after he got hit. Not after that cut opened and Dominic started going... being a little bit more aggressive and being a little bit more reckless than he's used to.
Yes.
And that was a little bit weird to see. But that's also another potential fight that we could talk about. but back to this, we also saw how TJ Dillashaw was very emotionally compromised, in my opinion, against Dominic Cruz.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree.
And I don't think that's going to happen in this fight for either of them. I don't think that all that history is going to play a big role in this fight. They've trained together for a long time. They're professionals and they've gotten that experience of Dominic Cruz behind them. So I think that that will help them. And that's like the emotional side of the fight. Now, another thing that I want to address is this fight was scheduled to happen earlier on this year.
You just jumped into what I was going to talk about. Go ahead.
Cody suffered a back injury that he's had to go to Germany to get some of those some crazy treatments where they spin your blood in a centrifuge and inject it back into you to revitalize you. But that wasn't too long ago. And I don't know how he's going to... I don't know if he's completely recovered from that. When we just watched the weigh-ins earlier, the first thing when Joe asked him how he thinks this fight's going to go, he said, I'm healthy now and I'm going to win. And that was really... I was really taken aback by when he said he's healthy because he's actually addressing that.
I agree. And that's another reason what made me... The weigh-in made me change my mind on who was going to win. I don't know how much training Cody has done since that back injury. It didn't seem like a lot.
He didn't look as ripped and shredded as he used to.
No, he did not look the same. The fact that he has the back injury, a back injury can take power from you as well. And so when I look at that, that's one another reason why I was looking at this and I was saying, I like TJ Dillashaw in this fight.
Now, I have to say, if the Cody Garbrandt that showed up against Dominic Cruz comes to fight night just like how he was, I think he beats TJ Dillashaw.
Repeat that again. Repeat that one more time.
If Cody's in shape and he shows up like he did against Dominic Cruz, I think he beats TJ Dillashaw.
Yes, I would agree with you on that one. Yes.
That's what I got to say because
But he's not the same. I don't think he's the same guy.
I don't know.
He just didn't look the same guy to me.
He didn't look like it to me. But I'm just going to try to approach it on paper. And then I'll come up with a decision after that. I'm trying to talk through this too.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
In this particular
fight. It's a pick 'em fight. This fight here, I'm more excited about this fight than any other fight on the card, regardless of what happens.
Not
I. I just love both of their fighting styles. I love their activity, their movement, their speed. All of that is just beauty for me as a fighter.
Okay. So or keep on breaking it down. You got to figure out I'm waiting to hear your magical words.
So this is what I see. This is how I saw the fight going. TJ Dillashaw is an aggressive fighter. He likes to use movement. He's going to use a lot of feints. He's going to try to draw out attacks from Cody. And he's going to mix in takedowns because he loves to do that. He loves to wrestle. Garbrandt is a very, very boxing heavy fighter. He just wants to get in on some angles and he really likes to counter strike. And he has really shorter arms and his fighting style, his boxing style is really compact. So he likes to throw those Mike Tyson-esque type punches.
Okay.
And those are kind of both of their weaknesses in a sense. So they're clashing in that sense. One wants to be long and rangy and gets in inside while the other one wants to counter-strike and go out for the knockout blows. And since I don't think even... No. I'm gonna keep with my pick.
I think he's changing his mind as he's talking.
I am. I'm talking through this.
And this is how crazy this fight is that I actually made my decision as I was talking. I'm not even going to lie to you. I've gone back and forth. But I made my decision by looking at the weigh-in and then as I was talking. And it sounds like you're doing the same thing.
I am. That's how I just approach things, and that's how I approach watching fights. Because it when you watch weigh-ins, when you watch their walkouts, when you watch everything develop, it shows a little bit of piece of that puzzle every single time.
I can even, before I let you finish your part, I was going to say, here's a weird thing. You give me the next 10 UFC events, and all I need to do is just see the weigh-in, and I can make a prediction on every single fight just from the weigh-in, and I think I would be 70% right.
We need to start keeping track of our picks so we can see what our record would be.
Yes.
Let's start it here.
All right.
UFC New York 2.
UFC, I'm already naming the event. That's how.
So how I see this fight playing out is TJ is going to come in.
Oh, I was going to say, instead of the Empire Classic 2.
I like it.
All right, go ahead. Give me your prediction.
So I see TJ trying to be super mobile, trying to pick his shots, pick his different angles, And Garbrandt's going to stay tight. He's gonna bite to a few of those feints. But I think Dillashaw is going to get a little too aggressive, and he's going to run into one of those Garbrandt right hands and left hands, and it's going to change the whole dynamic of the fight. And I'm going to say that he beats him in a third round. Garbrandt wins by a third round TKO.
All right. Here's another reason, I could totally see that happening, because, you know, as TJ Dillashaw comes in, Cody has some power. The things I don't like about Cody in this fight is the back injury, the lack of training, and the biggest thing of all is there's a huge difference when you're trying to be the alpha male or the leader of the pack, and you're chasing that alpha male, than when you're king of the mountain and you're just trying to hang on and keep your title. So many people that are just very superior fighters, the pressure of just trying to hold on to what they have, which is that title, makes them pull back a little bit. And I've seen so many guys lose strictly because they're more concerned about keeping that title. You lose your champions. A lot of contenders lose their edge once they have the title. And nobody had a better edge than Cody. It was Cody against the world. I'm going to go through. I want that title.
He's going to get it for his...
I got that title.
Yeah.
Do you see how?
Yeah, a lot of fighters lose that killer instinct. They lose that hunger, that drive. They just want to maintain. They don't make those leaps and bounds in their fight camps anymore because they're too scared to lose, in a sense. And yeah. Now, that could very well happen.
Now, speaking of King of the Mountain and hanging on to King of the Mountain, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the person who's King of the Mountain or Queen of the Mountain. And she's very comfortable at the top. That is called Joanna Jędrzejczyk. We'll be right back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, we're back, and we just got done debating and literally deciding on air who we thought were going to win between Cody No Love and TJ Dillashaw. And the thing that was kind of amazing to me on this was neither one of us, William or I, really had our minds completely made up on who was going to win that fight. We had to talk ourselves through it on air. I can't remember the last time I really, truly had no clue who was going to win, and I had to talk myself through it and then watch you do the exact same thing, William.
I haven't had that moment in a long time. I can't recall one of those.
Now, with that being said, now that we've gone on break and you've thought about your decision, Before I make you put your pick in stone here, do you want to change it?
I don't want to change it at all.
I could go either way. I'm not even going to lie to you. You know what?
At the walkout.
You know what? That would help me. The weigh-in is the most important thing to me. The walkout is the second most important thing.
I mean, that's why the bookies adjust the odds while the fight's going on, right? Things change.
Because I truly could change my mind because, like you were saying, I think, you know, if he comes out in that back and he's sharp, he could catch him early. He could totally catch TJ Dillashaw early.
And if he catches people, it's lights out. That's the thing about him.
He has that Conor McGregor kind of lights out power. Do you agree?
Oh, for sure. It just makes more sense for him because he has that. He just has that torque, whereas Connor's that pinpoint sniper.
But you know what? I'm sticking with my decision because the hardest man in that division to hit is Dominic Cruz. The second hardest man to hit is TJ Dillashaw. He has a back issue. I think TJ's gonna be able to take him to the ground. We have yet to see him handle adversity on the ground. I got TJ winning this bad boy. Unanimous decision.
All respect to that. I can see that happening too.
All right. So you said earlier that that was the fight that you were most looking forward to. And I'm going to tell you that the fight that I'm most looking forward to, which I would have made it my main event. It's not going to be a bigger, it's not going to be GSP coming back big, but the fight I'm most looking forward to is 14-0 out of Poland, Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Thug Rose Namajunas. And the thing with Rose is when Rose is mentally on point, I've yet to see anyone be able to stand up to her. And this fight here with Rose and Joanna, this is a very different fighter than Joanna has been facing lately. We're fighters that have just been desperately trying to figure out a way to get Joanna on the ground. Get her on the ground. Rose is gonna want to fight with her. And when I look at this fight, the one thing that gives Rose a shot is this. Early in the fight, I've seen situations where you can catch Joanna. And it won't be your hand. That's dangerous. Rose is one of those people that actually have normal hand speed. She's not lightning fast with the hand speed. She's a good fighter. But what Rose comes with is she can get that kick up. That kick can come out of nowhere. Just ask Michelle Watterson. I thought Michelle Watterson was going to school Rose. But once that kick was landed, it was over. She never could recover from that. Is there a chance that Rose could catch Joanna with a kick like that? Nah.
You had me, Jay.
Hell no. I'm taking Joanna champion, baby. Joanna Jędrzejczyk is just the most rounded fighter I have ever seen. It's not Chris Cyborg. It's not Ronda Rousey. It's Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Every single fight that every time she fights, she gets better and better. And better. I can literally watch every fight and say she's improved from the last fight. I've never seen anyone go 5, 6, 7, 8 fights in a row and improve every single time. She's improved leaps and bounds since coming over to the United States. I say she's the most mentally strong champion of all the weight divisions, male and female. She's the most complete fighter in all the weight divisions. Maybe Demetrius Johnson and her got something, you know. I met her, that those
GSP, not him.
No. You want a Jędrzejczyk, Demetrius Johnson, most two rounded fighters in all of the UFC, in my opinion. I don't see any way. Rose is tough, but I think she's getting into Rose's head. At the weigh-in, Rose is mumbling something, and Joe Rogan says, "What did you say to her?" And she's like, "I'm saying, was it the Lord's Prayer?"
Yeah, she's saying the Lord's Prayer.
She's in there praying because you're gonna need Jesus when you're fighting Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody, but this woman.
I mean, she's just almost perfect. In my opinion, when I look at a perfect fighter, that's my definition of a perfect fighter. And I, you know, what is Rose going to do? Is Rose going to step back and trade with Joanna? Joanna has faster hands, just as good as kicks. World-class kicks, world-class hands. So is she gonna box with her? That's bad news. Is she going to try to rough her up and take her to the ground? Everyone's been doing that, and no one's succeeded. Much better ground fighters and grapplers and Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighters than Rose have made that attempt. So how does Rose pull it off? Second thing is, in the weigh-in, she's doing the prayer. Rose looks like she's about to cry. You can break Rose mentally. And Rose, to say this, I'm going to say this flat out. Rose is one of my absolute favorite fighters in the women's strawweight division. She's one of my favorite fighters in all of women's mixed martial arts. But I just don't give her a chance. What's your take?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I'm glad that you talked about how Joanna is vulnerable at times going mm-hmm. into some fights. She's been knocked down sometimes just from punches that she may not have seen, even though she dominates the rest of the yes. fight. Why I can't say that she's one of the most complete fighters is I haven't seen her submission game, like that type of grappling. So I can't give her that. And that's where I would give Rose the advantage, because Rose is somewhat of a submission specialist.
A submission specialist.
She's taken out a lot of fighters just on the ground.
But, you know, I look at, like, that the last fight. You know, when you look at it and you say she's fought some of the best grapplers.
Oh, yeah. You talk about Claudia Gadea. She yes. fought Jessica Andrade. Amazing how she dismantled
them. Jessica Andrade, Claudia Gadelha are two of the best ground fighters in women's mixed martial arts, and they couldn't get her to the ground. The first time that Claudia Gadelha and Joanna Jędrzejczyk fought and she got her to the ground, she was able to handle it and get back up. She has proven that even when you get her down, it is very hard to keep her down. Kind of like you know, when you think about Michael Bisping, about he's going to have to employ a style that if he gets taken to the ground, he has to be able to figure out how to get back up. Joanna has proven that against the best, she can get back up.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that this is how I see the fight playing out.
Okay.
I see Joanna just putting an absolute beating on Rose, right? Okay. She's going to wear the crimson mask. Rose is going to just wear the crimson mask that all the fighters that fight Joanna wear. And one of those punches will knock her down. One of those punches will knock Rose down. And Joanna may be obliged to follow her into her guard, where she is most dangerous.
I don't think she will. That's one of the things.
That's the only point in which I see Rose winning. Just to give you another. That's the only
point. Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you think I was taking Rose at one point?
No, I thought you were. Yes, I thought you were. Yes, I thought you were, actually. That's why I'm giving you my my walk around.
Oh, yes. I knew. I could tell. I could see the look on your face like, are you really going to do this? No way. Like you're watching me like I'm on TV, and you're like, wow, he's going to actually pick Rose. And I love Rose. That's the funny thing. If Rose is watching this, I am a huge fan of yours. But you are fighting a freak of nature. You know, it's just that's my thing. The biggest problem I have with Joanna Jędrzejczyk is the fact that she wants to move up the flyweight. Just stay there like Demetrius Johnson and just keep racking up wins until no one can ever break your record, because you're going to break Ronda Rousey's title defense record and just put it out of reach.
Well, she's running out of women to beat. That's a problem.
Yeah, you know what? Because there's going to be a mass exodus of women that are going to go to that flyweight division because they can't deal with Joanna Champion. And Joanna Champion is the woman who's like, oh, Amanda Nunes is dropping out?
I'll go up to the bantamweight division and fight on 3 hours notice. You know about that, right?
Yeah, she's fought. I mean, if you look back at her Muay Thai career, she fought Valentina 4 times. She's not afraid. She's a fighter. Through and through.
Yeah, and you know what? I went back. You can go on YouTube and you can catch some of her Muay Thai fights. You can go back. It's weird. I've never seen anyone do this. Every single fight, she gets better. I've yet to. When do you plateau to the point that you're like, okay, you got everything? Each fight, I think she looks better every single time. And I've never seen that with any fighter, especially a champion. Most times, once you get the title, you level off because of the media obligation. You're just not as hungry. She's working like a mad woman. You watch some of the embedded. You watch some of the things that she's doing. She's in the gym like she is the number 10 contender, and she is trying to get to the title. She doesn't train like I'm the champ. I'm king of the mountain. She's still getting better. I'm amazed by her.
She's like the queen of the hill that fights off every single person and then builds that hill even higher.
Yes. Now, I'm really curious about. This fight is going to be the most different of all the fights that she's done. I admit that this is going to be, this is going to be a challenge for her. I think Rose is going to try to challenge her early on. If Rose has success early, it could be an interesting fight, but I don't think she will. I think it's going to be kind of a Michael Bisping kind of situation where I think she needs to land that big kick early and stun her. And if she does that, that's her only chance, is that surprise kick. As far as skill, I just think Joanna's better on every single aspect of the fight. And I could be wrong. I could be biased. But that's kind of the way I see it. Am I missing anything? Do you disagree with anything that I've said?
No, you said that's her only way of winning. I think that if she follows Rose to the ground, there's a chance that may happen too. But that's unlikely.
Okay, and let's address that. I have seen Joanna drop people and tell
stand me, back up, come
get,
on up.
Get on up, girl.
Yeah.
Get on up. And I could see that kind of, because I think Joanna, I was watching an interview, I think Joanna's game plan is to break Rose mentally. And the best way to break Rose mentally is to beat her, get her on the ground. When she goes to the ground, get her right back up, get some more hot sauce, and keep on just tapping her. When you think about Rose, now back to your kind of theory, it's kind of like the mistake that Paige VanZant made with Rose. Paige VanZant should have never, ever went to the ground with Rose. That was just a bad decision. I don't think Joanna's going to make that mistake. Joanna knows she's so comfortable and so far superior on the stand-up that going on the ground, I just think, would just not even be a good move.
Yeah, she doesn't play or mess around at all. She's just all business, all beatings.
You know, I think she should start coming to the ring with a briefcase and a suit and tie on, because it's all business. And with that, when we come back, we're going to go on break, but when we come back, what's our next fight?
We'll talk about the Wonder Boy versus Jorge Masvidal.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC, Invicta FC, Bellator, and ONE Championship, we got the fights covered. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back, and we just got done reviewing Thug Rose versus Joanna Jojacek. And now we're on to, that actually sounds like a CD, Thug Rose and Joanna Jojacek.
Remix.
The remix. All right, so what are we on to here, William?
We're on to Steven Wonderboy Thompson versus Jorge Gamebred Masvidal.
Love that nickname, Gamebred. Yeah, Wonderboy versus Gamebred.
Those are some of the best nicknames that match fighters. Like that's perfect for each of them now that I think about it.
Yes. No, I agree with you. Now you have Jorge Masvidal coming off of a loss. He's 32-12. And then you have Wonderboy, who's coming off of a loss and a draw to and a title defense with Tyron Woodley. I'm going to let you go ahead and take the lead on this one.
Now, this is my third most excited, the fight that I'm third most excited for.
All right, give me that order. Yeah, what's the order?
So it's Cody versus TJ as number one. Bisping versus St. Pierre, because I'm just a huge fan of both fighters. And then this one, Thompson versus Masvidal. I'm just so excited for this because it's just a stylistic beauty. I just think it's going to be amazing. I mean, Jorge, to me, in my opinion, he's the absolute dark horse of the welterweight division. Super underrated by everyone. And he's just been amassing this really nice streak that was somewhat halted by Damian Maia, but he actually showed a really good performance. And then you have Steven Wonderboy Thompson, who solved every puzzle in the welterweight division aside from Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley. And the cool thing about this fight is Jorge is a boxer, traditionally a well-rounded fighter. He can wrestle, he can do all those things. And Wonderboy is a karate specialist.
Now, you know what I find weird about this situation is? He fought two really, really close fights with the champ, Tyron Woodley. And I think his career has taken a huge step backwards. Because I think because both of those fights were considered so disappointing. Although I enjoyed both of them because I loved the chess match. But as far as the fan goes, you had two very boring fights that people aren't that excited about. Before the Tyron Woodley fight, I remember you and I talking about, is there anyone in this division that could even stop Wonder Boy? Now, when you see Wonder Boy, the excitement of seeing him has just diminished so much. Do you agree on that?
Oh, I totally agree, because I think Tyron showed his kryptonite in that fight. I mean, he knocked him down. I mean, it was mostly a standing affair. They had a stand-up strike battle for most of the two fights, and everyone heralded Wonder Boy as somebody that couldn't beat standing. No one could solve the fight.
And so, could figure out the style.
Yeah, no one could figure out his style, and Tyron Woodley was able to do that by just absolutely unloading haymakers on him.
Yes, and you know, a lot of people are really upset with Tyron Woodley. I look at Tyron Woodley as the game master, because he came in his last three fights with mental masterpieces. And everyone say, they're boring. These fights were boring as hell. They were mental masterpieces because he looked at the situation and just said, you know what? If you go to war with Wonder Boy, he's going to lose. If you're going to go in a wrestling match with the human backpack, you're going to lose. So he came in and he figured out a way. He won with his mind instead of his body. And I really appreciated that. And I feel like Wonder Boy has taken a huge step back because of that. But I think there's a lot less interest and excitement about him. But he's still just as dangerous as he's always been. And I think a lot of people are you know, underestimating what Wonder Boy can do. My question to you is, does Gamebred go in and take the same approach that Tyron Woodley took?
I just don't think Gamebred fights like that.
No, I don't think he does.
Said in his nickname, he is a pressure fighter. He's going to bring the fight. He's going to be in Wonderboy's face the entire time. And I don't think, aside from that Rory fight where Rory was trying to push it, he wasn't really managing the range well. And that's what Thompson really loves to do. If he stays on the outside, if you stay on the outside with Wonderboy, you're toast. And I don't think that's what Jorge wants to do. I think he wants to be in his face. He wants to box him up. He wants to wrestle him if it's possible. But he's looking to make this a dirty fight. And that's how he needs to fight if he wants to win this fight.
Now, do you agree? I look at this and I say, he's not active enough. When I look at his, you know, the punches thrown and of his last four or five fights, he's not busy enough to, in my opinion, to really cause Wonderboy trouble. I look at this fight as, I'll give you my take first then, and then I'll turn it back over to you. I think he's gonna come at him. He's going to come at him, keep coming at him. He's going to follow him. And I think that's a bad decision because he's going to end up getting kind of Roy McIlroy'd against Wonderboy situation.
Roy McIlroy, the golfer?
Roy McDonald.
Yeah.
But maybe you need a golf club in there to win this fight. At least a driver.
Yeah.
You're going to end up like Roy McDonald, where, you know, he kept following him, and kept getting caught.
Yep.
And for that, I look at this as a third or fourth round stoppage just because there's just going to be too much damage. I got Wonderboy winning this fight. And
well, it can't be a fourth round because that's not...
I mean, third round. Sorry, man. Third round. Yeah. I mean, we've been doing so many title...
This card is stacked.
This card is so stacked. I'm thinking they're all title shots. I got about a third round stoppage.
Okay. I see where you're coming from there.
All right. Hey, what you got?
The thing that intrigues me about Jorge is that he's very patient with his pressure. And I don't think Rory was when in their fight. And you don't have to be that active against Wonderboy to win against him. Because I don't think, honestly, I didn't think Tyron was really active against him. He stayed against the fence and he waited to land these huge shots. And Jorge is able to do that too, and he has fast hands. And I see this being a back and forth.
But does
battle,
he have
honestly.
Tyron Whitley power?
He doesn't, but I think he has better combinations. I'm going to say that. He can put together a lot of punches, and he's able to pressure and cut off the ring better than what we saw against Tyron Woodley.
Do you have questions about Stephen Wonderboy's chin now?
I don't.
I don't either. I think, you know, I was watching a thing, and that's one of the things that there was a show that they were talking about that he has a suspect chin. Let me tell you.
I even know what you're going to say.
You get hit by Tyron Woodley, you can be Daniel Cormier. You're going down.
He could knock out a horse. Like, yes. Literally, if he just punched a horse, I could see the horse just dying. Like,
yes. Yes. I mean, that's a freak of nature. I mean,
look at his thighs. Look at Tyron Woodley's thighs and tell me he can't generate power.
It's all power.
His whole body is, he's just a spring ready to just unload on people.
Yes. I mean, so I don't think this really takes anything from Stephen Thompson that he got dropped by Tyron Woodley, because I think he can drop it. Matter of fact, I think Tyron Woodley can drop everybody on this card. That's how... You know,
you're right. Even the heavyweights. I'm looking at St. Preux. I'm looking at Walt Harris. I'm looking at Godbeer over there. He can drop everyone here. Even Alexio Linick.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, Tyron Woodley can drop them all. I think Wonderboy, one, is very hard to hit. So I don't think Masvidal will be able to hit him. And two, I think he can take a shot. You just can't get hit by a freak of nature.
I think this is going to be a back and forth battle. I can see where you're coming from.
I'm turning it all over to you now because I know where you're going.
I just see this being a stylistic matchup like none other in this card. Not even the Garbrandt-Dillashaw fight. I think that they're going to... I don't think that each of them has kind of the power to put each other away with one shot necessarily. But it's going to be in those combinations, in the accumulation of damage over time. And I see this being a back and forth war. And I could see either, I think this goes to a decision, in my opinion, but it's going to be fight of the night from at least until that point in the card. Because it's the fourth, it's the fourth fight in the card. It's going to be the fight of the night until that point. I can't predict anything about the last two fights with Garbrandt, Dillashaw, and Bisping and St. Pierre, but I think it's going to be a fight of the night candidate. And if I'm going to pick somebody, I'm going to go with what you said. I just like the range of Wonderboy. I like how he's able to put together shots that no one ever sees because he's so unorthodox with his karate style. So I'm going to have to go with Thompson in this by unanimous decision.
That surprised me. I thought you were going to go with Game Bread.
No, I love Game Bread too. I love Game Bread. I've been watching Game Bread since he was on those Kimbo Slice fights in the backyards.
You've been watching. I know you've been watching longer than I have, but I didn't know it was that far back. All right. We're going to go quickly through the rest of this card, and let's give us the prediction. All right, you name the card. I'll give you my prediction. Then you go ahead. Then you give me yours.
All right, we'll start with the next fight on there. Johnny Hendricks versus Costa. You can actually call him Borrachinha. Yeah, that's the racer.
All right, I am going with, and just I want to make something. I just a real quick statement here. I want to check something out here. That would be 5 losses out of his last.
You could say 6,
because I got him losing.
Yeah,
I got him losing by KO. His last win, the only person he beat is Hector Lombard. I got him with 6 losses out of his last 7 fights. Is that right?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah.
Yes. I got Johnny Hendricks losing this fight. I got him losing by KO. And what does that do to Johnny? If Johnny Hendricks loses by KO, what do you do with Johnny Hendricks?
What does Johnny Hendricks do with himself, first of all?
And also, I want to say this. Totally shocked he made weight. Holy crap. That's the first win he's had in a long time. The dude made weight. That's a shocker. No Little Caesars pizzas. He made weight.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of him anymore.
I think you should give him a fight bonus just for making weight. Because he misses weight so often that you expect him to miss weight, that he deserves a bonus just for making weight.
I think he'd use that bonus and buy a burger right after. you don't want him to destroy a Little Caesar's pizza right before the fight.
Oh yes, and the extra most bestie.
Everyone that I've never been as confident. I don't think I can't remember the last time I've been as confident as I've been in this pick of. Don't choose Johnny Hendricks. He's going to lose by knockout. You can pick whatever round, but he's going to... I'm so confident in that being a knockout loss for Hendricks.
Yeah, pick Borrachinha. Yes, I'm just... Yeah, I got a knockout. I got Paulo winning by KO. You know, when you look around, let's see. I just want to see what his numbers are here. Accuracy, defense...
10-0, and he has this barrage of punches that he can put just like Vitor Belfort in his prime. That's what you're looking at with Borrachinha.
And there's a huge difference in size. And, you know, when you look at Paulo, 90% of his fights are by KO.
It's not going to be... And the other 10%, that's by submission. He's a finisher like none other.
And then... You know he has the size advantage. He has the reach advantage.
The age advantage.
The age advantage.
The youth advantage, if we want to call that.
Yes. I just don't see I'm sorry. I got Big Rig going down.
It's really sad, honestly. If you look at this card and you see Johnny Hendricks there and you see who was the last person that GSP fought and how far they've gone in their 4 years since that last time that they fought, it's really sad.
Yeah, I mean,
You're circling the belly. You're circling the belly of Johnny Hendricks.
Yes. Just saying. It's just, I don't know. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. That concludes the main card. The next one, just do some just pick 'em fights. Let's go on the prelims. I'm gonna say let's talk about that OSP versus Corey Anderson fight.
Now, when we were watching the weigh-ins, I thought I was gonna go with Corey Anderson initially because I thought OSP was gonna gas out from all the takedown attempts. But then I remembered how gassed out Corey Anderson gets when he tries to get those takedowns and the lack of power that I see when he's standing and on the ground. So I think that OSP is going to take it, just outstriking him, defending the takedowns, and potentially even stopping him in the third round.
I have this as an easy win. Corey Anderson is a nice fighter. He just doesn't have the power. I got OSP winning by KO. No, I got OSP winning by submission.
Oh, you see him? Is he going to land the Darce choke? Or what
I don't think you can. You can't pull off another Darce choke, do you think?
Oh, don't challenge him. Don't challenge him. He's got the record. You know what?
I'm going to go out on a limb. Darce choke, OSP. GSP, KO kick. I like my alphabet right now. And then, so you had, and how do you, you took a OSP as well, right?
Yep. What do you think about that?
Brown and Mickey Gall, or was it another fight?
I like that fight.
Okay. This is an interesting one. Mickey Gall or Randy Brown, and why?
I'm choosing Randy Brown. Experience factor. And I just think it's too early for. There's just another level that I don't think Mickey Gall was ready for, or is ready for right now. And I think that Randy has that power and that size advantage over him, and he's not going to be able to overcome that by taking him to the ground.
I was going to say size advantage, reach advantage, you know, leg strength. I mean advantage. You know, Mickey Gall, 4-0, 0 KOs. You got Randy with 56% of his fights end in KO, another 33% in the submissions. So he only goes decision only almost a little over 10% of the time. I think in this particular case, I'm taking an upset by taking Randy Brown, which should be the favorite.
Yeah, I just think Mickey Gall's gone a long way doing his call-outs, and good on him, but I just don't think it's going to work.
I just don't think this is a good fight for him. Yeah. I just think this is a bad matchup for him. Do you want the James Vick versus Joe Duffy fight?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a great showcase for Joe Duffy.
Duffy, yeah, KO.
Easy, right there. I just think his striking is on another level. The only risk that I see is James might be taller than opponents that Joe Duffy's fought in the past. But I think once he gets his timing right and his distance, Joe Duffy's going to end up with a knockout.
I just look at it and say Joe Duffy's just going to be too much for him. I'm sorry. I just don't see. Yeah, I got Duffy winning this by KO. Enough said on that one. Any other fights on the prelims that you want to, on the early prelims, on the fight pass prelims? Are there any other fights?
You know, all those fight pass prelims are actually really good fights. You got a heavyweight fight with Alexei Oleinik and Curtis Blades.
I'm going to tell you this. This is a fight that a lot of people are going to skip the early prelims, but this is a fight that could shock a lot of people. These are really, really big, strong guys. But when you look at this, you have the grappler versus the KO guy, the KO specialist. When you look at Alexei at a 77% submission
you know, submission victories. But when you look at Curtis, all his fights, they end in KO. That's just the way it is. He's a very powerful guy. He's a little green, but he is a beast. And I got him winning by KO. Yeah, I mean, I really do. Even when he fought Francis Ngannou, he was able to land some leather. I have them, you know. I got a KO victory.
I actually have a submission win for Olenek. I think that he just has that experience factor, and I think that's going to be enough. I think Blade's a little too green. He's going to go for a lot of strikes, and he's going to get taken down, maybe gassed out, and something along those lines. And I'm looking around the second round, I'll say.
Anything else you want to cover before we wrap things up today?
Well, I think that no matter when you start watching this card, you're going to be entertained.
Yes, this is a card to watch. It's pretty much. I mean, I love all these fights. I don't think this card can disappoint. I'd be really shocked if this card disappointed. Once again, going through that main card, we got Paulo Costa winning by KO over Johnny Hendricks. We both agree on that. We both agree that Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is going to win.
Yep, I got him by unanimous decision in a slugfest.
I got it by KO. We got Thug Rose versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. You know how once upon a time I used to have such a hard time saying Joanna Jędrzejczyk? Now it just flows. Just like she will in the fight. Joanna still champion as who's going to win.
That should be her nickname. And still champion.
One of the things I loved was when she was at the weigh-in and she's saying the boogeyman's gonna, what'd she call it?
Is coming for you, Rose. She's been saying, I'm gonna cut all the roses.
Yes, I'm gonna cut all the roses in New York, and how the boogeywoman's gonna come get Rose. And the fact that Rose looked like she was gonna cry, I'm sorry. I got this as an easy win.
1-0 already.
Yes.
10-7 round.
All right. TJ Dillashaw and Cody Garbrandt, we did not agree on that one. But I do not trust my own self. I took TJ Dillashaw. I'm not confident about that. I'm just being honest. Being the host, I have to make a decision. So I picked TJ Dillashaw to win a unanimous decision. I'm not confident. I could be wrong. I'm second guessing myself, but I'm sticking with TJ Dillashaw. And then William took Cody, no love.
Yeah, it's tough when you have to think about injuries that happen and stuff that we don't get to see in the media and things that go on in their lives. So that's the hardest part about picking fights.
If you took this and you gave the belt to TJ Dillashaw and he didn't have the back injury, I would totally take Cody. But this is his first title defense. He's coming off of a back injury. TJ Dillashaw is hungry. I got this. And as a win, TJ Dillashaw. After that last little bit summed it up for me, I'm feeling confident. TJ Dillashaw.
Oh, there he goes. Making decision on the fly.
On the fly. And next, we have the Count, Michael Bisping, versus George Rush St. Pierre. And we both agree, St. Pierre wins, right?
Oh, totally. I'm so excited for GSP. I'm really excited.
I'm so excited about this, didn't he?
I'm just so excited about this. Like, I want to see what comes out of him. I know what Bisping's going to bring. I just want to see what St. Pierre's going to come out with after these four long years.
Maybe he'll pull a Demetrius Johnson and catch him in the air and do an armbar in the air like Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, suplex. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
All right, so this concludes our take on UFC 217, a.k.a. UFC New York 2, a.k.a. the Empire Classic 2. Once again, I'm your host, Tate. and my main man, William. And to all, have a good night, and we'll see you at the fight.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also